Well, now, commitment. This is the third in the three sermon series that is tied in with the launching of our branding, which is, I guess, the technical term for the way in which St. Andrew's presents itself to the public in terms of our logo and our handout material and our publications and so on. The idea being that we should try to match and reflect in those materials who we believe we are and what we stand for here in this church. We have declared that we are people who reach out for Christ with passion and courage and commitment. That's our vision statement. A couple of Sundays ago, Blair spoke on passion. He tied it in with the story of Moses and the burning bush. And he highlighted for us the passion of God toward God's people and our passion for God, our calling, if you like to be passionate on behalf of God. Last week, Wes talked about courage. He based that on the story of Peter trying to walk on water. And he emphasized for us that courage requires trust as we strike out into any kind of unknown territory with Jesus at our side. And so here I am, number three on the totem pole. It's my job to talk about commitment. What am I going to say about commitment? Well, a couple of weeks ago I was thinking about this sermon and scratching my head at breakfast time, and I said to my husband, I've got to preach on commitment. And he said, what are you going to say about commitment? And I said, well, I don't really know. And he said, well, you could tell them the story. And I said, what story? And it's an old story, which you have heard before, but I think it's surprisingly relevant to what I want to say this morning. He said, the story, you know, about the pig and the chicken discussing what they're going to have for breakfast. Like I say, it's an old story, so some of you are probably at the punchline already. You have the pig and the chicken discussing what they're going to have for breakfast, and the chicken suggests that they should have bacon and egg. Only the pig doesn't seem very keen. And the chicken says, well, why not? What's wrong with bacon and egg? And the pig says, well, think about it for a minute. If we have bacon and egg for breakfast, you're a chicken. For you, it's a contribution. But me, I'm a pig. For me, it's total commitment. So I offer it to the stewardship committee for their campaign in the fall. So as I mulled this over and began to think what I might say this morning, my mind went to our vision statement, which I already referred to, where we have declared ourselves to be a people who reach out for Christ with passion and courage and commitment. And I remember the time when we adopted this vision statement. It's a couple of years ago now, I guess. We arrived at it after much thoughtful consideration and discussion. And I also remember at the time feeling rather ambiguous about the statement. In fact, I thought the statement was rather ambiguous. Because it says that we are people who are reaching out for Christ. And I wasn't sure if that meant that we were reaching out for Christ, in other words, in order to find Christ, or if it meant that we were reaching out for Christ, on behalf of Christ, to reach other people and bring them in. So we're going to think about those two things for a minute or two this morning. They're both valid visions. They're both valid goals. But I think you have to have the first before you can have the second. So let's think for a minute or two about reaching out for Christ, one of the ways in which I read the statement. A couple of weeks ago, my husband and I went to hear a guest speaker at St. Andrew's Church, Toronto, Paul Wilson, who is a professor at Emmanuel College, and his topic was reading the Bible for today. And in the course of his address, Dr. Wilson made a very provocative statement. He said that, in his opinion, the things that churches turn to in order to market themselves, things like facelifts and projects and programs that are guaranteed to attract and to instruct and even possibly to entertain, these things, he said, are no good. And he might even have included branding in that comment. He might say that the only branding that really counts is the mark of the cross on the life of every Christian. These things, said Paul Wilson, are no good unless. He wasn't suggesting that innovative ideas are no use, without merit. But he did insist that first and foremost, the church must preach the gospel. The gospel which tells us that God loves us, that God rescues us through Jesus from the mess that we make of our lives, also known as sin, and God's abiding presence with us in our daily life. That's what we as Christians are committed to. In that passage from the Gospel of Mark that Wes read this morning, we have the story of Jesus talking with an expert in Jewish law. One of the religious authorities came to speak to him, and he asks a question. He asks Jesus, which is the most important commandment? Now, it might have been a trick question because the experts, quote unquote, were always looking to trip Jesus up so that they could find him out, find him saying something that was inappropriate or that contradicted the law of God, and then they would have got him. They would be able to act against him if that's what they wanted to do. So that might have been a trick question, but as you read on in the story, I think it's possible to conclude that it really was a genuine question, that you have someone coming as a seeker, someone reaching out for Christ in order to have an answer. And so he asks, this man asks, which commandment is the most important of all? And there were hundreds of commandments that the Jewish people had to obey. So it's kind of a bit of a loaded question, I guess. Which commandment is the most important of all? And Jesus says, first of all, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And it seems to me that in saying that, Jesus is siding with the pig rather than the chicken. He's recommending not just a contribution on our part, but total commitment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Total commitment to God is what God requires of us. And Jesus models this for us in his own life and death, and he invites us to do the same thing. It ain't easy to love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's not easy. It eats up a lot of time. It involves us in a constant examining and re-examining of what's going on in our lives, of what's going on in our minds, what's going on in our hearts. It leads us into challenges and confrontations with friends and people that we encounter and even people that we don't know. It demands a lot of sacrifice at work, within our family, within our community, within the global village. So I think it's probably not very surprising to conclude that often many of us would rather be hens. We'd rather be chickens. We'd rather make the occasional contribution instead of opting to be pigs and making the total commitment. It's as if we kind of walk around giving a tip of our hat to God, but we don't want and we can't be there 24/7. And yet, to love God with heart and soul and mind and strength brings fulfillment beyond belief to those who do so. Jesus, commending the guy who asks the question, says, "Because you have done these things, you are not far from the kingdom of God." And then if we look at the other way that I took this phrase, reaching out for or on behalf of Christ, we have the second part of the equation, because as I said before, if you have one, then you automatically go to two. If you love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, then it automatically takes you into loving your neighbor. Because that's the second part of Jesus' answer to the question about which is the greatest commandment. Love God, love your neighbor. And I don't know about you, but I give a kind of a sigh of relief when I read that one, because this is one I figure I can grasp. I can get hold of this. I actually can do something about it. And maybe that's how you feel. Maybe that's that you would agree with me on that, that we can grasp this idea, we can do something about it, and we probably are through the givings that we make to the church or to various charities and our volunteer work and the way that we have a listening ear for people or we go to visit those who are sick. We are, in effect, putting that into practice. We are loving our neighbor. And then just as we're about to sigh with relief, Jesus adds the clincher, as you love yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Okay. And how much do I love me? Well, most of the time, quite a lot. And how much time and energy and financial resources am I prepared to devote to making life good and comfortable and secure and pleasant for myself? Well, most of the time, quite a lot. And for my neighbor, well, hopefully I dedicate some of my time and my energy and my financial resources and so on and so on to the well-being of my neighbor. But if I'm going to be honest, and what else can I be if I'm in the pulpit? If I'm going to be honest, it's not as much as I put aside for myself. So you see, it brings us back to the chicken and the pig again. We're not bad at making occasional and even regular contributions, but total commitment? Well, have to think about that one. And yet, that's what Jesus says. What he says is actually not original to Jesus. You'll find it in the Old Testament. The bit about loving God with heart, soul, mind, and strength comes from the book of Deuteronomy. The bit about loving your neighbor as yourself comes from the book of Leviticus. And they combine, they define the commitment that is clearly expected from people of faith, from people of God, from the Jesus people, from the Easter people, from us. Commitment. Total commitment. I have a friend, one of several whom I met when I first came to Canada, so I guess he's been my friend for a long time, 45 years this year. He's a retired mechanical engineer, used to work for DuPont and Standard Chemicals and Domtar. And it was work which involved him in, according to his bio, it involved him in research, in engineering, and in economic studies of alternate energies. After he retired, Doug began a crusade which had to do with climate change and the role that excess amounts of carbon dioxide may play in climate change. And his crusade also has to do with finding an alternate source of energy other than fossil fuel to power our world. My friend Doug believes that renewable energy cannot produce more than 10% of the world's energy needs. He's also a committed and practicing Christian. He's a Presbyterian elder. He takes love your neighbor as you love yourself very seriously. And he believes that as Christians, we have a responsibility to help people in underdeveloped countries, help them to find the same place in the sun that we enjoy. And in order to do this, they need more energy, and we need to help them access that energy. And so, according to Doug, the only way out of this dilemma, the dilemma of diminishing supplies and expanding consumption, is nuclear fission energy using modern fast breeder reactors. Now, every single time Doug and I get together, this is what we talk about. I sometimes timidly, because I'm not a scientific type, timidly offer other solutions like wind power or solar power or ethanol or hybrid cars. And time again, Doug demolishes my arguments as being only band-aid solutions. He believes that the problem is so immense it requires a revolutionary solution, which for him is nuclear fission. Now, whether you agree with Doug's thesis or not, he's passionate, he's courageous, and he's committed to his argument. He's so passionate that this thesis dominates all his conversations. There's not one single time, as I said, that we get together that we don't end up talking about this, while Doug's wife, like all good wives, is rolling her eyes in the background and making cut it off signals. And my husband and I are not the only people whose ear Doug bends. So he's passionate about what he believes. He's also courageous. He sticks with his thesis no matter what he encounters, whether it's disbelief or boredom or indifference or laughter or hostility or inconvenience. He's been there. He's done that. He still plows on with courage. He doesn't let it wear him down. And he's committed, because he talks wherever and whenever and to whomsoever he can find. He's been invited to address conferences and gatherings in churches and universities and institutions and at dinner tables all across Canada and in the States and in Europe. He has written articles, and with his son he has co-authored a book and produced a DVD. Little by little, Doug is getting his message out. He's one committed guy. And I began to think, what if I applied Doug's commitment to my life as a Christian, to the practice of my Christian faith, what would happen? Well, I would be speaking about it every chance I got, to anybody and everybody who would listen, whether it would be in here or out there, more especially out there, because I believe that the Christian message is essential to people's spiritual well-being and indeed to their spiritual survival. And I don't know about you, but I know I don't do this all the time. See, I make a contribution, and sometimes it might even be defined as a sizable contribution, and hopefully sometimes it might even be an effective contribution. But it's a contribution. It's not total commitment, which of course may be an impossible ideal, given that we are human. But like most of us, I could probably try harder and do more. So what's it going to be? Are you with the chicken or the pig? You going to opt for eggs or bacon? Love the Lord your God, says Jesus, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Total commitment, or as close as we can get. There is, says Jesus, no other commandment more important than these two. Let us pray. God, we ask you to give us passion for the gospel, courage to proclaim it, and the commitment needed to keep the passion burning and the courage strong, so that as people of this congregation we may realize our vision and achieve our goal and fulfill our mission. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, the committed one. Amen.